Chapter 19. An hour with the Loudoun County Sheriffs, who seemed delighted to buy into the home robbery gone wrong story. I left just as the media and Dad's media people started to arrive. That was something they could handle. At some point, I would need the FBI to take possession of Scow's body because I needed to confirm what was in his head. I would worry about that later. My threep in D.C. was where I left it and had a police guard, although whether it was a guard or a cop waiting to arrest me wasn't clear for the first couple of minutes. A diagnostic showed that the damage to the threep from the bullet into the back was worse than I originally thought, and I had a couple of hours before it locked up entirely. I reflected on the fact that, in a single day, I had managed to seriously damage 3 separate threeps. An hour arguing with Trin in the Metro Police about having Reese's body released to the FBI. The point that Reese had just attempted to assassinate an FBI agent did not seem to convince Trin all that much. Finally had to resort to having people over my head at the Bureau go over her head in the Metro Police. By the time I was done, Trin no longer wanted to be my friend. Ever. Suited me. Another hour with the FBI recounting the Reese attack, making up a suitable lie about leaving the scene to check in on my parents and otherwise catching up my place of employment with the day's events. I focused on the Reese attack rather than the whole day, did not volunteer to speculate on causes, and no one asked me to. For now, Reese's attack was being treated like a single event, unrelated to anything else me and Van were doing. This also suited me. Finished up just as my threep ground to a halt. Managed to get to my desk. I would have to schedule for the local Sebring Warner dealership to pick it up for repair tomorrow. In the meantime, I checked the inventory for visitor threeps I could use. There were none. We had called in reinforcements for the march. Visiting agents were borrowing the 5 threeps we had on hand. Fine, I thought, and started looking for rentals. There were none. The march meant that every rental threep in the district, Maryland, and Northern Virginia was rented through Monday. The closest rental threep available was in Richmond. It was a Metro Junior Courier. The hell with this, I said, and finally exercised my rich person privileges. I called up my Sebring Warner salesman on his personal number and told him that if he could get to his store and have a threep ready for me in 45 minutes, I would pay full price plus an extra $5,000 as a tip for dragging him out of whatever Adams Morgan singles pit he was currently casting about in. An hour later, I walked out of the D.C. Sebring Warner dealership in a 325K, a few steps down from the 660XS, but at this point it seemed likely I would have it for about a day before I completely trashed it in the line of duty, and took a cab to Georgetown Hospital, calling Van to let her know I was on my way and in a new threep. I found her in the emergency room, arm in a sling, arguing with an orderly. "We need to have you in the wheelchair until you exit the building," he said. "I was shot in the shoulder, not the legs," she said. "It's hospital policy. I can't move this arm, but the rest of me works fine. So if you want to try to stop me, see where it gets you. The good news is, you're already at the hospital." She walked off, leaving the annoyed orderly behind. "Van," I said. She looked over at me, taking in the new threep. "Shane?" "Yeah," I said. "Prove it." "I royally pissed off Trin tonight," I said. "I think she hates me more than she hates you." "Oh, I doubt that," Van said. "But if you got her even halfway there, I'll buy you a drink." "I don't drink," I said. "Good," Van said. "Then you buy me a drink. Come on, I know a bar." "I don't really think you should be hitting the bars tonight," I said. "You have a hole in your shoulder." "It's a scratch," Van said. "A hole in your shoulder from a bullet," I said. "It was a small bullet," Van said. "Fired by someone trying to kill you. All the more reason I need a drink." "No bars," I said. Van looked at me sourly. "Let's go back to my place," I said. "Why would I want to do that?" Van said. "Because we have to catch up," I said, "and because there are agents there watching over the place so you won't be killed in the night. I have a couch you can sleep on." Van continued to look unconvinced. "And we'll stop on the way to get a bottle of something," I said. "Better," she said. I entered my townhouse with my public ID up, so that my housemates wouldn't panic when they saw me. Taylor came over and stopped when she looked at Van. "They let you out," she said. "It's more like I didn't let them keep me in," Van said. Even without facial expression, I could sense disapproval radiating from Taylor, but then she let it go. "You two need to access the news," she said. "I'm not sure about that," I said. "They have a video message from Brenda Rees," she said. "It went live on the net just before she shot at Agent Van." She pointed to the living room. "We have a monitor there for guests." "I have my glasses," Van said. But we went into the living room anyway, fired up the monitor to the news channel, which had a copy of Rees's video. In the video, she talked about the injustice of Abrams Kettering, how it was causing suffering among so many of her clients, and how everyone was to blame. "There are no innocents among the non-Haydens," she said. "They allowed this to happen. Cassandra Bell said it, and I believe it. This is a war on a disabled minority. Well, I am now a soldier in this war, and for me, the battle starts tonight." "Do you believe this?" Van asked me as we watched the video again. "Hell no," I said. "You caught the reference to Cassandra Bell." "I did. Another act of violence, ostensibly perpetrated at her behest." "Anyone killed tonight?" Van asked. "Aside from Rees?" I asked. Van nodded. "No. There were some people who were stampeded and other injuries and property damage from the grenade, but the only person she shot at was you." "And you," Van said. "I got hit," I said, "but that was because I was protecting you." "And that would go against her story anyway," Van said. "So you and I know she was gunning for me, but her story will muddy up the waters. When the morning shows go live tomorrow, they're going to tie this into the Loudoun Pharma attack." "That sounds about right to me," I said. Van didn't say anything to this, but touched the monitor to bring up the latest news. The top story aside from Reese's attack was the shooting at my parents' house. Van pulled up the story and watched it. "A burglar," Van said after the report ended. "That's what I told my parents to say." "Think it will float?" "There's no reason for it not to," I said. "How are your parents?" Van asked. "Now that they've got their people and responses in place, they'll be fine," I said. "Dad's in shock a little. Killing a man ends any thought of him running for Senate." "A man defending his home doesn't play so poorly in most parts of Virginia," Van said. "No, but it's balanced out by the image of a really big, angry black man with a shotgun," I said. "Even Mom's ancestors being gun runners for the Confederacy isn't going to make up for that. So I'm pretty sure a party rep is going to come around tomorrow and tell him they would be delighted for him to endorse the candidacy of someone else." "Sorry." "It'll be fine," I said, "eventually. Dad's probably got a week of think pieces and commentary about him and the shooting to get through before he can do anything else. A normal person would be able to get through it in private. Dad has to worry about what it means for his legacy." "And the burglar?" Van said. "A Navajo named Bruce Scow," I said. "And he's like Johnny Sani?" "As far as we can tell so far, probably," I said. "We'll need to get into his head to confirm." "Another remote-controlled integrator," Van said. "Looks like," I said. Van sighed and then pointed at the liquor store bag I still held in my hand, containing a bottle of Maker's Mark bourbon and package of Solo cups. "Pour me some of that," she said. "Make it a tall one." "How tall?" I asked. "Don't get me drunk," Van said, "but just short of that would be fine." I nodded. "Why don't you head up to my room?" I said. "I'll bring it up to you in a minute." I pointed in the right direction and then went into the kitchen, which was a characteristically bare Hayden kitchen, save for the pallets of nutritional liquid. Taylor, whose room was on the first floor, saw me go in and followed. "You're getting her a drink," she said. "The alternative to getting her one here was getting her one at a bar," I said. "At least here I can cut her off if she gets sloppy." "What she really needs at this point is some sleep, not bourbon," she said, pointing to the bottle. "I'm not going to disagree with you on that," I said, opening the bottle. "But she's not going to do that at the moment. In which case, I might as well make her comfortable, because we need to do some work." "And how are you doing?" Taylor asked. "Well, you know," I said, opening the Solo cup package. "Today, I fought with a Ninja 3, saw two women view the last video from a dead relative, had a woman explode 20 feet from me, and watched my dad kill an intruder with a shotgun. I took a cup and poured the bourbon into it. If I had any sense, I'd take this bottle and attach it to my intake tube. I've seen people do that, actually, Taylor said. Yeah? I asked. How does it work for them? About as well as you'd expect, Taylor said. Hayden bodies are sedentary and in general have low alcohol tolerances to start. Our digestive systems are used to taking in nutritional liquids, not actual food and drink. And then there's the fact that the disease changes our brain structure, which for a lot of Haydens increases the propensity for addiction. So they're all fucked up is what you're saying. What I'm saying is there's nothing as fucked up as a Hayden alcoholic. I'll keep it in mind, I said. You need sleep too, Taylor said. Professional opinion. I'm not going to disagree with you on that either, I said, but for all the reasons I've just outlined, I'm a little wired right now. Is it always like this? Taylor asked. My job? Yes. This is my first week on the job, I said. So far? Yes. How do you feel about that? Like I wish I had decided to be the typical rich kid and been a sponge on my parents, I said. You don't really mean that, Taylor said. No, I said. But at the moment, I really want to feel like I did. Taylor came over and rested a hand on my arm. I'm the house doctor, she said. If you need help, you know where I am. I do, I said. Promise me you'll try to get some sleep tonight? I'll try. Okay, she turned to go. Taylor, I said. Thanks for tonight. It means a lot to me that you helped my partner. That's my job, Taylor said. I mean, you saw me help a man who 2 minutes earlier was planning to bash my head in with a bat. I wouldn't do any less for someone you care about.